Hi, this is Susan Newman, brand visibility designer and the founder of Susan Newman Design Incorporated, now celebrating our 20th anniversary. Branding builds your mark on the world. To learn more about how we can build your presence, visit SusanNewmanDesign.com. Today, I'm speaking with Dave Ursillo. So let me tell you a little bit about Dave. Dave is a writer and creative entrepreneur who helps self-starters live their leadership through writing, business, and artistry. His project, The Literati Writers, is a premium membership online writing community that is dedicated to helping writers live and love their creative journey every step of the way. Join Dave's mission and discover how to make your creative journey its own reward at literatiwriters.com. So, welcome, Dave.
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much. I see you've been practicing your pronunciation of the Literati Writers. I'm very proud of you.
Yes, thank you. Well, you know, once I got it in my mind that it should have an Italian flair, I no longer had a problem.
Yeah. It's all about the Italian flair. It solves all problems in life, I promise you.
Right. If I had more money than I have, I would be in Italy right now.
That would be great. We could have a wonderful conversation in Italian. That's, of course, the nature of
molto bene.
Call. Molto bene. Yes. Yeah, so thank you so much for...
I was just going to say, studio italiano, not molto bene.
I don't know. I think you're more Italian than me, which is too bad because I am of Italian descent.
What I meant to say was a studio italiano per un anno, which means I studied Italian for like 1 year. I actually studied more than 1 year, but on and off, so. And I've been fortunate to have been there. So
wonderful.
That's why I, you know, if I had the money, I'd go back, over and over and over. So.
Well, celebrating the 20th.
I will go back.
Yeah, I was going to say, celebrating the 20th anniversary of your business. It sounds like, you know, there is much success that's already been had and much more success to the future.
Thank you. I hope so.
Absolutely.
So, I understand that your new project is Conversations in Purpose.
Yes.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about what that project is.
Absolutely, Susan. Thank you so much for having me and for hosting me again in the conversation. This, as you mentioned, is a new experimental project that I kind of actually just tossed about on Facebook and got a really overwhelmingly positive response from my friends and connections online, and decided to run with it. So Conversations in Purpose is a total experimental project. I wanted to become a part of upwards of 50 conversations with friends, short and sweet, directly to the point, on whatever kind of questions, struggles, or conversation points that you or any of those friends would be interested in hosting me about. You know, as a creative entrepreneur, as a writer, I find myself having so many conversations with incredible people that are all striking these really resonant points that I feel they discuss life, they discuss self-awareness, they discuss our relationships, they discuss love. And I love having those conversations one-on-one on the phone with my clients, my readers, the customers. But I really wanted to take this project kind of out of the scope, outside of the bubble of the one-on-one atmosphere, and to try to invite listeners of your audience, listeners of my audience, to not only entertain the ideas as we discuss them in these very off-the-cuff conversations that are grounded in a sense of purpose or meaning, but also to feel encouraged and inspired to have conversations of their own with a deep sense of purpose and meaning. Because I think that when we get offline, especially, and when we have conversations in social settings, I think those of us who feel more comfortable engaging in meaningful conversations in social media sadly feel a little bit uncomfortable having those conversations in person. So ideally, this Conversations in Purpose project will encourage you, the listener, to not only feel encouraged to entertain whatever we talk about, Susan and I, but also to encourage you to kind of feel really inspired to dive into the meat of a conversation with somebody in person, whether it's a family member, a friend, a colleague, or a stranger, and to really just feel engaged in an experience in conversation. Because I think, Susan, these conversations, of course, that I've been having are completely unscripted. We kind of just take a launching point and go with it. And I think that if we embrace that sort of unknown and that uncertainty and that feeling of maybe even discomfort of having a conversation with someone and just hoping to get to a meaningful place, it's just like a really, it's a really great way to just experience realness and like a real depth of a connection between you and whoever you're speaking with. And that's what I hope to accomplish with this project. And I'm really excited just to see where it all leads.
Awesome. And so once you have all the 50 conversations, how are you going to broadcast that, let's say, to the audience? Is it going to be
everyone
50 podcasts just loaded on your site?
No, actually, I'm relying on friends like you to host the podcast and the interviews on their own blogs and websites, so that I can have the privilege and honor by proxy speaking with your audience. And I'm going to actually organize all of the various blog posts into a little mashup on my own site, daveursillo.com, which will be featuring a brand new, fresh redesign in the very near future. So I'm excited about that. But it's just kind of an interesting experiment to branch out of these small, close-knit social media bubbles that we tend to find ourselves in, and just to see who we can find out there through the facilitating power of the internet, and see if we can't connect and create some meaningful dialogue with new people who maybe are sitting in the background and the active readers and kind of quiet participants in the social media sphere, and see if we can't get them to join us and have conversations of their own.
And so is everyone going to just post their podcast randomly, or is it sort of controlled that everyone is going to post at the same time?
No, it's all the different interviews. I'm asking everyone that's hosting me to post them and to let them go public on their own blogs and websites come January 2014, and just sometime over the span of that month, just so that they're all kind of lined up in this one-month window where we can all kind of rotate through and see what the different conversations are like. It's a very fluid, open-ended, take this content, whatever conversation kind of comes about, wherever the conversation leads us, take it, add it to a blog post of yours, add it to something of yours, and just give it to the world and see if we can't encourage more people to have meaningful conversations right from the get-go and to cut through that throat clearing stage that I think we all kind of get caught up in, where we spend an abundant amount of time trying to figure out what's the right thing to say rather than just getting into the truth of the moment.
Right. Okay, so our topic of conversation that I selected is going to be what do we do when we've spread ourselves too thin? And, you know, there is a lot of twists and turns that this can take, because I've been thinking about it a little bit. And it's sort of a combination of a creative person wanting to have a finger in multiple pots, which is just part of our nature sometimes. And then at the same time, being a creative sometimes is a solitary thing, and we end up doing a lot of all of these things by ourselves. So there's two ends of the spectrum. One is wanting to do a lot of things to keep it interesting, and then at the same time, you know, how do we do it without exhausting ourselves?
Absolutely, Susan. That's a great launching point, because a number of things spring to mind. So I'll give a little background to your readers. You gave a great introduction to me, but as a writer and a creative entrepreneur, which basically means, as you mentioned in my bio, I've worked in the last year especially with about 75 writers and creatives and artists who are photographers, bloggers, poets. And this question is one that really does arise often. Also, on the more personal, outside of the business front, on the more personal front, as a creative and a writer, I have dabbled in a variety of mediums, artistic mediums, from either playing with, you know, oil paints and acrylic paints in my spare time to writing a book of poetry to publishing my first book, which was about personal leadership and political leadership. I've contributed to, I think, a total of 9 collaborative books in the last 4 years, 5 years, which has, you know, ranged from Chicken Soup for the Soul to Ebook Suck, which is the title of one of those books. So there, I've had the privilege and you know, joy of participating in all these different mediums. And so I think it's a great launching point. My first thing that springs to mind, Susan, is what are your feelings? What's your take on participating in different collaborations? Have you ever done so?
Well, yeah. I mean, many of the things that I do are collaborative. Hmm. So, for example, I was a contributor to one of the Hungry Entrepreneur books also, which is Self-Promotion Sucks.
Mm.
And so that was a very rewarding experience, and I enjoyed that. I also have a webinar series, which you're going to be participating this fall, and
yes,
that's a collaborative process. So all the speakers, I hand select the speakers for the season, and take care of all the web pages, recording, publicity, promotion, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the presenters are the ones, coming on to do the lesson.
Mm.
Then there's so then there's my radio broadcast. There's a lot of different things that I do where it's a collaborative process. It's not just me doing or me talking. So
absolutely. And I think that's a great place to
begin. And I really enjoy doing all of those things, but sometimes I do feel like I'm spread a little too thin. And I have to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this or how am I going to do that? Or, one of the things that I started doing this season, starting like a few weeks ago, is I actually charted out everything almost like a map, 2 different maps on the wall, so that I can keep track of everything and where it is and what date it is and when it's due, and give all of that, pardon me, all a structure, so that it really helps me be in control of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great place to start, Susan, because as long as I've known you, you strike me naturally as a personality who is a very high achiever, a very imaginative creative. You have tons of ideas, projects. You're from your radio series to the events that you put together with guest instructors like me. Thank you again for the opportunity. There's no shortage of different projects, mediums, ideas that are out there, and as writers or creatives, you don't need to be a writer or a creative entrepreneur necessarily to appreciate the nature of imagination and experimentation. I think, Susan, that we have a real value when it comes to the importance of experimentation, imagination, and play. It's a very childlike quality, and it's one that we tend to lose as we get away from our childhood. But the more that we dabble in those realms of experimentation, imagination, and play, the more we kind of continually realize everything that's possible. And so when you have that kind of a visionary dreaming mentality, I think that what ends up happening a lot of the time to those of us who have that kind of a visionary mentality is that we begin to feel this ongoing pressure And the ongoing pressure that we feel is this pressure to continually perform, to do, to achieve, but not even just not even to achieve, but just the pressure to constantly be doing. And that's almost the type of feeling that I feel when I'm thinking about the launching point that you presented at the beginning of this call, which is about being spread too thin. So there's a delicate balance there, and I'd be interested to hear your perspective on that balance. For me, what I experience with a lot of writers, I experience it myself from time to time as well, is when I'm feeling spread too thin, I really need to buckle down and understand why I'm spreading myself so thin. I think it's a really, ultimately, kind of a self-defeating way of living. You know, if I'm spreading myself too thin in my personal life, if I'm spreading myself too thin, making too many commitments to friends, even just in my social life, it's ultimately going to be my own undoing, right? Because there's only so much of me. I only have so much attention. I only have so much time in the day. And I only have so much energy to direct to the places I really want to direct it. Ultimately, as a creative or an entrepreneur, or just in your everyday life, again, outside of the realms of being a creative or an entrepreneur, I think that really what we're channeling into our work, what we're channeling into our goals, our dreams, our aspirations, is ultimately a sense of love. And that love has to be treated with a really delicate consideration. I mentioned, you know, only having so much time in the day, only having so much energy to give, only having so much attention to give. Really, those are all things that I think really are that your love deserves. And it's really what makes your love go. It's what propels your capacity to give, to be considerate, to listen to people, to help people, to serve people, to facilitate conferences, to write books, and so on. So I think that what oftentimes happens, and this is, again, it's a balance, it's an ebb and flow, it's not just one thing you can either achieve or avoid, but I think that we tend to spread ourselves too thin from time to time with the good intention of experimentation, imagination, and play, of dabbling in these new dreams and these new mediums like acrylic or oil paints or music or writing or blogging or webinars. And ultimately, I think what we need to do is to really honor ourselves by asking ourselves, you know, why do we feel like we're not doing enough? Do we feel like we're not loving enough, like we're not giving enough? If so, what is enough? And that's,
well, you know, it's interesting that you said that. One of the reasons that I started some of these things was originally because, people would, think of me as the go-to gal, let's say, about, how do you do this or how do you do that? People are always asking me, I almost felt like that guy in Cheers, where every time they had a question about something, they would ask him. I started making these screencast tutorials. This is how you work Hootsuite, and this is how you work YouTube, and this is how you brand your channel, and this is how you do this, and here's WordPress, and here's LinkedIn. Did you know you could do all of this stuff in the groups area? I started making all of these videos, and that led to interviewing people, which led to the webinar series, which has led to the radio series. And it's sort of, I think that with me, it's a combination of, yes, absolutely, trying out something new, trying out, playing, seeing how it works, the excitement of doing something different. And then at the same time, because as a creative, let's say what I do for a profession can get lumped together with other creatives, if you can do something different that someone else isn't doing, it somewhat sets you apart. But it also sets you apart for those things, and then new people that come along they think of me as a broadcaster, and they don't even know that I'm a designer. So I think that sometimes you have to be careful with all the things that you're doing, because you know, you could lose sight, or people could lose sight of your, you know, what's in the background, you know, that you really want to do.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the tricks when it comes to being an online entrepreneur or a creative entrepreneur, when you're, you know, you have an online presence, you have a social media presence. You know, all the advice that we hear, everything that we're trying to do for ourselves in order to create a business, to serve people, to help people, to share our knowledge, our experience. Like you mentioned, all people coming to you and asking you how to do certain things, and you serving that really, that need really well, Susan, is we use all this advice to build something for ourselves, to create a brand, to be known for X, Y, and Z, and then oftentimes we'll get there to that place where we are known for X, Y, and Z, and we want to be known for A, B, and C instead. And I think this is a really I think it's a really natural part of the artistic yearning that we have as creatives. Now, by artistic yearning, I mean what? I believe that those who I call artists, I use the term very liberally, I don't qualify some as artists and some as not, but what I really do to use the term, to bring definition to the term rather, Susan, is to say that artists are those who really value a meaningful, nuanced, rich experience, an overall artful experience in life, and I think that that dips into the realms of, you know, personal life, work, and play. And part of that value of having an artful experience throughout your life is really never settling for what is easy, but rather always feeling engaged to pursue the edge of the unknown, to, you know, to never be satisfied with the fact that your creative skills are what they are, but to always be striving to make them better. It's one of those ironic things about being a creative, is we ultimately have to be very satisfied with what we have and what we're capable of right now. It's just a really basic sense of gratitude, of being able to accept and receive love and compliments, as well as money from clients and customers who value our work. But at the same time, we almost need to have this overriding sensation that what we're doing isn't enough, in the sense that we want to challenge ourselves personally to become better artists, to become better creatives, to be better leaders, and to serve people in grander ways, or more, not even in terms of grander in terms of quantity necessarily, but grander in terms of more quality. And I think that kind of quality originates, it's Ira Glass who has the famous quote that that makes its circles online and in artistic circles around the world, about having a really refined artistic taste and having, you know, really just as an artist within yourself, as a creative within yourself, maintaining certain expectations and artistic standards for what you want your work to ultimately become. But because you need time to grow those skills and abilities, you're still not there yet. And it's naturally a very frustrating process to continually create something that, you know, you think ought to be better. But all this to say, Susan, I think that, you know, when it comes down to being known for something, whether it's a brand, a business model, or otherwise, I really engage this idea of being destructive with your creativity from time to time. And it's a really tough concept to kind of wrap your head around, because we have this very linear, we in our society, in our culture, in the Western world, in the capitalist world, have a very linear perspective on what it means to achieve success. We start from where we are. We're at the bottom of the ladder. We have to work our way up. You don't need to be in a corporate atmosphere. You don't need to be in a political atmosphere to understand that you need to go from where you are to where you're going by walking that straight line, building something for yourself. And I think that from time to time, we have to reconsider that process as being more cyclical than linear.
Right.
What I mean by that is you get to a certain place, you work hard, you get over the hump, suddenly things are becoming easy. You're known as Susie Brandtastic, and you have all these clients and a great business, and maybe like serving that need no longer serves you and your own artistic wants and needs, and you need to kind of reinvent yourself in a new way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, what's interesting is the Susie Brandtastic is taking on a life of its own. And I love that because it's easy, it's fun, and I'm getting to interview and meet some of the coolest people ever. But it, you know, it is taking time, and then it takes time away from other things that I have. And like, for example, we didn't even talk about Frogs O' Green, and Frogs O' Green, you know, that is just another project that I have, that, you know, another company, and, you know, that also has stuff going on, needs blogging, needs, you know, promotion, kids art contest right now, and the photography contest. You know, I've got all these different things happening, and sometimes, you know, there's just 24 hours in a day, and I do have to sleep too, so... You know, I mean, I think that, you know, do we then, you know, really sit down and look at everything and figure out that we have to prioritize our lives? And what gets to be in the forefront and get more time devoted to it, and what takes a back seat and only gets a limited time?
And those are the big questions, right? And the simple answer is that there is no answer. Those are questions that we all have in our own lives. I think it's one of the, you know, especially for someone like you and I, Susie, or in you listening, in all likelihood, if you're listening to this conversation, you are yourself a self-starter. You have a very, you know, an ambitious, to whatever degree, personality, whether it's an ambition with your dreams, ambitions with your creative endeavors, ambitions to help people, ambitions to start a nonprofit, whatever it is. It's that constant balance that I was talking about that's very relevant to artistry, of aspiring and seeing a vision and pursuing a dream to where you are right now and understanding what you want and need right now and making those tough decisions about what takes priority, what takes precedent, what can I leave behind. Ultimately, I think that is the process of being an artist. You know, it's not how big of a painting can I paint, but, you know, what can I fill on this canvas? It's not how can I write a book about absolutely everything that I could possibly say, all of my experiences, all of my stories. The process of book writing is actually being extraordinarily economical with what you're choosing to say. And so for a creative entrepreneur, a self-employed person, a writer, whoever it may be, the process that I think we need to, that you ought to consider more in your day-to-day is what can I leave behind? Because that's a process of refinement. That's the process of honoring yourself, your energy, your time, your love, as I mentioned, and really submitting yourself to the pace and the flow of the experience of life that you're really hoping to have. And so I hope that is resonant with you, Susan, and I know it's something that I am constantly practicing myself, but I think it's really worth it because it takes a whole load of pressure off of our shoulders, a lot of pressure that we put on our own selves to constantly be performing, acting, creating, managing, dreaming, pursuing, organizing, marketing, you know, and on down the list goes. But I think alleviating some of that pressure, it can be tough because we feel like, you know, maybe we're being too easy on ourselves or we have to keep pressing and pushing. And but, you know, I think that's for me and for many that I work with, I feel like the philosophy of taking an occasional pause, of slowing down, of weeding and pruning, stepping back, maybe even reinventing yourself as an artist or a creative, they're all really healthy processes of refinement. And as I look outside my window here in New England, and you know the leaves are falling, and you know nature itself goes through these pauses. these moments of stillness, of reflection, of turning in, of hibernation, of death in its own way and rebirth at a future time. I think that nature also kind of really encourages us as human beings to do that too. So putting that into practice for you, whether it's an artist, a creative, a writer, an entrepreneur, or just someone who's engaging in a conversation and purpose with a friend or a loved one, you know, for a conversation to be had, it's not just about you talking endlessly. You need to take your own pauses and reflections and stepping back to listen to the other party. So ultimately, maybe that's a great way to conclude the conversation is to for me to shut up and to listen.
Well, no, I was going to say I think you're 100% correct. I mean, I think that you know, part of some of the things that I do are, you know, me wanting to explore the boundaries, me wanting to learn new things, and, you know, of course, me wanting to share what I've learned with others in different ways. You know, but I do have to, you know, from time to time, I think I need to just, you know, take those moments and reflect and look at what I've got going on. And, you know, and I will say that, you know, as a creative, more spontaneous kind of person, it's very interesting to have a, let's say, calendar on the wall with action plans and, you know, to have someone who's not necessarily, you know, that structured to become structured. It's a very, it's a very strange undertaking, but it's, I kind of like it because it, you know, it melts those two things together, which is, you know, it gives me the opportunity to be creative and do the things that I want to do, but it's helping me organize everything so that I'm not scrambling at all. Like, you know, what do I do today? Or, you know, I don't have to think about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's not, obviously, it's not that structured that it's not that structured that it's, you know, telling me what I'm doing every day. It's more of a sort of marketing structure. Of blogging,
right, but it's a great example. I was going to say it's a great example of you kind of imposing some of your own counterbalances to a process, an imaginative, creative process that works for you very well. But it is kind of like in its own way, taking those pauses, those moments to assess, to visualize all the different places where you have your head. It's a really daunting process at times when we feel so overextended or distended from ourselves. So like I said, I think it's a great way to begin is just, and I've done that before too. I actually have the memory flashing in my head right now of when I was living in New York City. I had like 50 post-it notes on my wall all organized into about, you know, 6 or 8 categories of all the different things that were going on. And it was really helpful at the time, but I think about it now and I'm like, damn, that was an overwhelming period of my life. And you know, but if I had to go back, I would do something similar because, like I said, it is in its own way it's a method of actually literally compartmentalizing all of the thoughts and ideas that are your gift as a creative, but being able to compartmentalize them and organize them into a place where you can actually see them on a wall or on paper is in its own way one of those pauses that allows you to see and I think to also experience more of what you're looking to experience in the day-to-day rather than constantly thinking about everything else that's going on.
Right. Well, and it's also a sense of accomplishment because every time you yellow a box, you know what I mean? It's like you've done that task for the day.
Yeah.
And then the whole rest of the day you can just, you know, do whatever you want to do.
Exactly. You could just take it to the bank. It's a checkbox. Feels real good.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome,
all right.
Susan. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, this was fun.
It was fun.
And I don't know about you, but I feel better.
I feel great. I always feel great. It's always great to chat with you. We always have such fun conversations. It was fun to talk this time a little bit more about the creativity in business entrepreneurship side of things. I know the first conversation we talked a lot about leadership and, you know, being a self-starter. So this was a really great change of pace, and I thank you again for hosting me.
My pleasure. I look forward to being able to share with the world.
Thank you. And if anybody has any follow-up questions or comments and you want to throw them my way and make it, you know, abundantly easy to get in touch with me, which for some reason seems to dissuade people from getting in touch with me from time to time. I think like there's some catch. But you can just email me, dave@daveursillo.com. Like I mentioned, you can find me at daveursillo.com is my blog. Or you can pop over to literatiwriters.com, which is the writing community that Susan and I referenced earlier on. And I look forward to chatting with you, too.
All right. Thank you so much. That was really fun. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good, Susan. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.